Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Junktime AFL Podcast, round 22, 2021. We come to you from Wayne Jackson Studios and Rod Carter Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who is about to announce his retirement from the Junktime AFL Podcast. It is Adam Rosenbarks.
Oh, g'day, Michael. G'day, Junktimers. Or should I say goodbye, Michael? Goodbye, Junktimers. It's it. I'm done. I'm out of here. Sayonara, motherfuckers. And I don't need you people anymore because, get a load of this, Jason Ackermanis has just announced his own cryptocurrency and Rosie is fucking all aboard the Acker train. I don't need you idiots anymore. I'm going to be so fucking rich that people don't even... Mate, seriously, this week, as soon as Acker announced it, right? So it's called... Zucoin. So yep. Zed, you know, fuck, I shouldn't even be announcing it, but it doesn't matter. I've bought up all the stock, so there's nothing left to buy. ZU coin, right? And Acker has released it this week. And as soon as I heard, I dipped into my super. So there is nothing left of my super. I fucking, uh-huh. It's bare. Like if this goes bust, I basically have to work until I'm 125, right?
Yep.
I've moved out of my apartment. I'm back in with mum and dad. It's going to be tough, but it's fucking worth it, right? Because this is going to go good. I don't have a car anymore, which is really annoying because mum and dad live in the burbs. So it's going to be annoying to get around and to get to gigs. But I'm happy to ask other people. When I'm driving a fucking Lamborghini for mum and dad's, it doesn't matter.
I mean, just looking at you through FaceTime here, you seem to be missing quite a few teeth.
I don't need them.
Concerned?
I've sold a kidney. Like I am all in on Zucoin, right? And this is what I love about it. So Acker has said that this cryptocurrency bills itself as the world's first peer-to-peer next-generation cryptocurrency. And he says it's quicker to process transaction, it's cheaper, and there's less energy intensive to produce. So it's going to be able to handle smaller purchases, which is where they're into it. And I just think as soon as Acker's involved, Rosie's right there with him. So yeah. When I heard
Acker and Bitcoin, I was like, cryptocurrency, sorry. I mean, Bitcoin, obviously, the enemy. Yeah. But when I hear Acker and cryptocurrency, I'm thinking plain sailing from now on.
Oh, mate, maybe I'll call you from my house on, I'm buying Pedophile Island.
Oh, really? You're buying the island?
Yeah,
I'm buying the island.
Yeah, I'm probably going to have to change the name, but I think it's going to be worth it because obviously the Epstein, family are going to be wanting to get rid of it.
Yeah, sure.
It's got its own airport.
Mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't I buy it? I mean, sure, it's got a bad name, but fuck, I think it's going to be worth it.
No, definitely. And it gives the postie something to read when you write Pedo Island on the postcard.
Yeah, exactly. They know which one is it. Anyway, I may occasionally get in contact with you, but I'm not going to need to. I'm going to be, you know what? I think the next time I see you is when I have organised a trip into outer space for us.
Oh, okay,
gotcha.
And for
the junk timers. A few select junk timers. We'll do a live show, a reunion show, if you will, on my jet. The Rosie Express, which goes into outer space, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm just looking forward to it. I'm just hanging to be loaded, Michael. And now that Acker's given me a pathway, I'm just a happy man.
Well, what I love is that Acker's got into bed with
Now, see, I haven't done any research on this. So all this you're telling me is
news to me.
Yeah, this is news to me. I didn't need. All I heard was Acker and cryptocurrency, and I was like, I'm there.
Yeah, sure. Okay. I'll use the term colourful racing identity. Does that ring a bell?
They're always fun people. Trustworthy. I like them.
So the unusual venture pairs Ackermanis, Mr. Ackermanis, actually, in Herald's own. They've gone full up.
See? A lot of respect.
With Alan Endres?
Okay.
An Aubrey business identity who was convicted of stock market manipulation in the 90s.
Mate, mate, hang on. Let me stop you there. Who wasn't? Exactly. If you're a stockbroker in the 90s and you didn't try and manipulate it, then you weren't worth a pinch of salt.
And banned from being a company director amid numerous clashes and counter clashes with the corporate cop and tax office.
No, you know what? That's because they didn't like the way he ran his business and he said, how's about fuck yourselves, mate? This man knows what he's doing. I'm still all in.
He was also the owner of the racehorse Alligator Blood, which was disqualified from last year's $2 million Magic Millions after testing positive to a prohibitive substance, a disqualification being challenged in the Supreme Court.
There you go. Being challenged.
It's not finished yet. I mean, the horse has to have the day in court.
I mean, I remember when Alligator Blood won by 200 lengths. They'd never seen that before in a racehorse. They'd never seen it, you know.
I tell you what, the nostrils were flaring.
They were flaring, mate. He was the only horse who could tie off his own belt around his around all four legs. He would shoot up in four legs. That's how good this horse was.
I mean, the horse, Alligator Blood, I think it was a salt lick, but it was definitely a white powder.
It was definitely a brick of something it was licking.
Mr. Akimanis, wow, they're really being quite polite to him. Met Mr.
Endres,
yeah.
Yeah.
Who tried to sue the government for more than $4 billion in damages during his time playing for Footscray, and the businessman said, didn't hide any. So he tried to sue the government for $4 billion.
Yeah. How did that go? I can't remember reading of anyone having won a settlement of $4 billion.
Yeah, I always find when trying to sue the government, don't put a B in front of the word that you want.
Thank you. Good. Yeah. And he says the businessman didn't hide any of his trials and tribulations. So this guy has been upfront with ACCA. He's like, oh, mate, yeah, stock market. Yeah, I tried to manipulate it. Big deal, mate. Yeah, I got in trouble with the regulator. Big deal, mate. The tax office, mate. They hate me, ACCA. But I tell you, ACCA, come on board and we are going to make some sweet coin.
Yeah, sure. You know, alligator blood might be in a pie one day, but, you know, no big deal. And by the way, did I mention I tried to sue the government for $4 billion?
Mm.
And they don't say why, too. I wonder why. What was Alligator Blood up to?
Yeah, what are you suing? What are you suing for? Yeah. So he says. He says that zoo coins have emerged from another of Mr. Akimanis' business ventures, ZooCaz. Interesting. An augmented reality marketing platform which allows users to collect discount retail vouchers in the same way they play Pokemon Go.
Now, do you know what that sentence means? I have no idea what that means.
Yeah, so I think basically what it is you know how Pokemon Go works. So you're out in public and you look at your phone and you can see there's a Pokemon Go in the street that you can only see on your phone. You can't see it in real life.
Yeah.
So that, this thing that ACCA's have, which all the kids are into, is you go out on the street and you collect discount retail vouchers. So you might, you know, like on the back of a shopper docket.
Okay, gotcha. So
you might be out on the street and then it'll be like in the middle of a street. It's like 4 cents a litre off your petrol and you're like, got it.
Gotcha. Actually, well, now you've put it that way. Like, that actually sounds like not a bad idea.
Yeah, but are adults going to take that up? Like, kids play adults play Pokemon Go as well. But are you going to have like a child just running around the neighbourhood looking for, I don't know, 8 cents off his next packet of Whiz Fizz?
Yeah, sure. Get 8 cents off, you know, Rev for 2 litres. Yeah. So zoo coins are going for $60 each at the minute.
Yeah.
What did Bitcoin go for now?
It's the most expensive cryptocurrency yet in terms of initial price offerings. So they're aiming high, but they're going to make, it says here, creating a market worth $6 billion, which is what I am clearly looking at getting in return.
You are clearly on it, yeah. Fuck, man. I hope Acker's okay.
Mate, he's a real estate agent.
I hope he's okay. Hey,
you know what I love, though? You know what I love, though, is that when they go to do the final interview with him, you know, they send a current affair out there and say, ACCA, what happened to all the money from ZooCoin? And the last thing that will happen in a current affair interview is as ACCA's running away, he will stop and do a handstand push-up before he speeds away. Hey, Michael, we've got a celebration.
Can we take a moment to recognise... Fucking get the banner up. We're going to run through it. We're going to carry our kids.
Yeah.
It's our 300th episode.
Congratulations, mate.
That is fucking unbelievable. I've talked to you 300 times. That is so annoying.
And more, because sometimes we even talk during the week, which is fucking ridiculous.
Mate, absolute nightmare. 300. I mean, I think we began 2014, didn't we?
Yes.
And you know the famous moment of 2014, the first episode, one of my favourite moments on the show, was when
Travis Cloke, a
young player, premiership player, had his window smashed in on his car and they stole his shoes from the back seat, and he was heading to the Melbourne show and he couldn't go to the Melbourne show that day. Yep. Hashtag no Melbourne show for me today. What a beautiful moment for Trav.
And what a beautiful moment for us when we realise that fucking hell, this football world is ridiculous and there's something in this. And there's been a lot of copycat shows that have tried to emulate what we do, but no one swears like we do. No one can, you know, you can listen to other podcasts without headphones. You can't do that with us.
Yeah, you can't play this one out loud on the tram.
No, you're not doing that. You're not doing that. When people ask you what do they talk about, you can't. You go, well, they don't do analysis. They really hang shit on people and have things go bad for them.
And how are you going in lockdown, man? So you got a curfew tonight. Firstly, I want to say
congratulations on the 300, and thank you to all the Junk Time listeners out there who've helped build the brand and come to our live shows and support us. It's been a fun run, and we're still enjoying doing the show. It's I mean, you need it more than me, but it's fun. You know, I'll set up a studio on my island that we can zoom in occasionally on.
So we're recording about 4:20. Oh, 4:20, mate.
Let's get on that gun.
On Monday. So Victoria announced a lockdown or curfew.
Extension.
Today. Yeah.
Yes, so we've got a curfew. So I'm lucky. So the curfew kicks in tonight at 9 PM. And I'm just lucky I got the engagement party that I went to out of the way.
Oh, you're going to that? Well, yeah, gotcha. Yeah.
It was great. It was awesome. It was good fun. We were laughing. Yeah. We were laughing and stuff, and we had a
ball. Did you make sure to film it too and then put it online?
Posted it everywhere because I was like, people need to see what a happy couple in love.
Dude. I mean, I can get like kind of have a sneaky party, but like to film it and put it online while they're making jokes about how this is illegal, like it's fucking unbelievable.
So for anyone unaware of it, basically there was an engagement party in Melbourne in East Kilda last week sometime, and there were 69 people there, and someone videoed it and they made a joke saying, oh, we're allowed to be here because, you know, it's for our mental health, you know, our dad's a doctor. And apparently there were a whole bunch of doctors there as well.
Oh, really?
And so that video got posted around today, and subsequently Melbourne has gone into a lockdown extension until September 2nd, and now we got ourselves a curfew.
Yeah, you got a curfew, unfortunately. Sydney obviously had nearly 500 cases today.
Yeah.
So Gladys opened up more, which is good. Very handy.
How tough has it been for you, though? You're not allowed to go look at real estate
anywhere else
in the state.
Because you had
your eye on something nice down in Kiama. You were thinking of driving up to Byron. You were going to Broken Hill just to check out property because you're a fucking property magnate.
That's the thing, man. I've got so many investment properties going around and hobby farms as well. Don't forget my hobby farms.
You do have them. You love a hobby farm.
Now, on other news, big win for your mates in Kabul overnight.
Yeah. Well, it disappoints me, you know. I told some good jokes over there and I didn't need the Taliban to just, you know, it's going to be tough for the comedians over in Kabul.
I've seen the footage at the airport, and it does look a bit like the Boxing Day sales. but to be fair, full credit to the Taliban. I mean, they've been in the wilderness for 20 years, put barely any scoreboard pressure on.
Do you think, could the Taliban be like Carlton?
Well, I was thinking a bit like they're like Melbourne. Like, you know, made the grand final in 2000, you know, 20 years kind of not much, a bit of something, but not much. But to their credit, like they did do a full review.
Max Gorn got the big beard.
They had Jason Dunstall and Matt Pavlich come in and do the full review. And I mean, they've really, over the last couple of weeks, they've really taken some big scalps.
You know what, though? You know what was really strange, though, is we never saw the results of the Taliban review. Like, they kept it under wraps, which I think shows that there's no leaks within that team. So they're a tight unit and they keep it together.
Yep.
A lot of members, too. A lot of members. A lot of people jumping on board their bandwagon under duress.
And I like their mascot, Alligator Blood.
They're a big fan. I tell you what, though, they've covered some territory. They went to the fat side of Afghanistan. They kicked it to the other side, and they have opened it up.
Now, when you've been there, have you been only to Kabul?
No, I went to Kandahar in the south, which fell last week. Yep. But that airport where everything is going down over the last couple of days, and the vision you see of people, you know, getting onto the planes and stuff, that's where I was based. The Kaya. So the Kabul International Airport, we call it in the industry Kaya. Is where we flew in and out of. I've got videos of, you know, landing there and stuff. And when we got choppered into, so that's sort of like on the outskirts of Kabul. And when we got choppered to the NATO headquarters in the city, that's where we took off from Kaya and then got choppered into the city and then choppered back out.
It reminds me of the fall of Saigon. And by that, I don't mean the fall of Saigon. I mean the fall of Saigon in the musical Miss Saigon.
Okay.
Yeah, when Kim was desperately trying to get to Chris, but they couldn't meet up in the embassy, and because Kim had a child to Chris, and so eventually she came to America. And
how did we get Chris to 300 episodes? When you have repeatedly brought up musicals that
the heat is on in Saigon.
I can't remember if I've told this story on the podcast.
Is it about a musical? Can it be about a musical?
About a musical that I walked out on?
We live on Avenue Q. Why God? Why this way?
When we flew from the Kabul International Airport.
You have always been there.
I'm sorry, Junk Thomas. I really am sorry. When we flew from the Kabul International Airport to the NATO headquarters, so we got choppered across at 3 o'clock in the morning.
So wait, quickly, why are you going to NATO?
So it was sort of like the ISAF headquarters, which was just sort of where there were a few Australians and then just a whole bunch of internationals It was like the coalition. It was the coalition's headquarters in Kabul.
Sure, sure.
And it was almost like a prison. So we landed. So we were supposed to fly at 9 at night, and we ended up flying at 3 in the morning. So we get in this Chinook helicopter, which is the one with the two propellers on it.
Yep.
And we get on that. It's got machine guns outside of it. And everyone on there, the American crew that were flying us, had night vision goggles on and stuff. And we land at there was an oval next to the NATO headquarters, the ISAF headquarters, where we were going into, and we land and we get off, and they come out with guns to cover the chopper so no one could take shots at it.
Dude.
And as we get off, so we're wearing body armor and helmets, and as we get off, we're on the field, and they say to us there was a gate about 80 meters away that we had to get to get into the compound, and they said to us, see that gate over there? Just fucking run as hard as you can. And I got off that chopper and bolted like I'd just kicked a goal and had to run to the bench. Like, it was fucking just shitting myself the whole way.
So you're wearing a helmet? You're wearing a vest?
Yeah, wearing body armor, yeah.
Yeah, dude. Fucking hell, mate.
And you just run. And there's dudes like, you know, because there's all like high rises around it. And they're like, we're just keeping cover on this so no one takes pot shots at the... Not that they would, because they would, you know, get fucked up.
But you think like that's like a pretty good spot for a sniper to hang out in a high rise.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Because you got a stationary chopper. Yeah. And then when we got there, so we get into this and we go to our like our rooms, which are almost like a camp on high school. So there's like two sets of bunks in there and stuff.
I think you're fine. At my high school, we camp a little bit differently. So you don't have a butler coming in serving you breakfast in bed.
Yeah, so you'd step over the spa and you get into your bunk. And the section of the compound that we were in, we had to have these special passes. You had to have a special pass to walk around the compound. And if you don't have one, basically shoot on site because everyone had one. And so we didn't have them when we got up in the morning. So we couldn't even go for breakfast. And they're like, you cannot leave this area because if you don't have that pass visible, you will be shot.
No way.
Yeah. So we were like, all right, we might just hang in our rooms until we get the passes cleared.
Dude, that's fucking unbelievable. So yeah. They have to bring it to your room and...
Yeah, and then they were like, whenever you're out...
Are they just like a lanyard? Like, just a plastic...
Yeah, pretty much. But everyone had them visible and that had where you were allowed to be. And whenever we went out, we were always with a soldier. They were pretty like... They basically said, don't be out by yourself just because you'll get yourself into trouble.
No way.
Yeah. And that was in the middle of the city. So we were sort of surrounded. The reason that we flew from at instead of 9 at night at 3 in the morning, because there'd been a rocket attack on that base before we flew in.
It's actually quite similar because I just finished a job. I had a green lanyard, which gave me access to certain areas, mm-hmm. but only the black lanyard could get you in to talk to the Masked Singers when they've been evicted. So it's very similar.
I feel your pain, man.
Yeah, I mean, I
feel your pain.
Yeah, you know, I couldn't get into certain areas and yes. got pulled up a couple of times and went through the wrong door. And they're like, no, you can't go and talk to the celebrities. And I'm like,
you can't be.
I didn't mean to. Anyway, by the way,
you can't be. But you know, the people that I actually do feel sorry for are the ones who worked with the Allied armies and who couldn't find their way out in time. And
yeah, dude, interpreters and shit like that too.
Interpreters and stuff like that. And they had people like when we went in, they showed us, they took us into the room where they fly the drones around. And so they have an Afghani or person with them who will explain why a car might have stopped on a road. And they'll be like, oh, that's because it's part of the prayer times. They go down to the river to cleanse themselves before they pray. And they're like, oh, okay, so we won't send a fucking hellfire missile at that car.
Sure.
And so these people work with the armies and stuff and gave a lot of their time. And unfortunately, a lot of them haven't been able to get out or are struggling to get out. And, you know, you hope they do find their way back to the countries that they helped.
What do you think the percentage of, you know, Australians, Americans, what would have been when you were at that base? And first, I've actually a question without notice. How many people do you think were on the base?
Fucking great question. Probably about, of like, Allied troops, probably, like, 5,000-ish, maybe? And it was sort of a big makeup of a lot of Eastern European countries, a lot of, you know, like... Denmark and Northern European and Netherlands, a lot of Brits, a lot of Americans. There weren't heaps of Australians when we were there. Yeah. The really interesting thing is seeing friendly allied troops with AK-47s because you just see them as a weapon of a terrorist and you'll be in the mess hall and, you know, like a guy's, this happened to me, I was waiting to get a drink from the fridge and there was a troop from Mongolia, I think, in front of me and he reaches in and his AK-47s just bang him in my leg.
Dude, I've done that too. So when I did a job in South Africa about 5-6 years ago, I hit my elbow and I was like, ouch, and then turned around. I was like, oh, that's the butt of a rifle.
Yeah, yeah. It's just such a weird experience.
They're solid. They are solid.
They are very solid. They are very solid. But, Michael, let us get on to the footy. And finally, the AFL has got what it wanted with such an even season. We've got a live last round. It's fantastic.
We really do. Okay, so let's break it down because there's a lot to unpack. Mm. So, okay, so we have Giants on 42, Essendon on 40, Eagles on 40, Fremantle on 40. So, in theory, they can all make...
Giants and Essendon can miss out. West Coast and Freo can make it. But having said that, the Giants are playing Carlton. Now, Carlton got done by 95 points. They have well and truly, not only have they put the queue in the rack, they've taken the rack off the wall and they've incinerated it.
Can we talk about that quickly by the fact that I think I was watching up to about half time or something and it was like, you know, pretty even, you know, nothing ridiculous. Yeah. And then I think the Giants got about, you know, roughly, you know, 14, 13 goals in a row.
Port, you mean? You said Giants. But yeah, Port.
Oh, sorry, Port. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Did you watch the whole thing?
No. So I left. I left after Josh Honey had just kicked our fifth goal, okay? And I went down to meet some friends at the park for...
Whoa.
With my mask on for some
non-essential
mental health.
Non-essential, motherfucker.
I was exercising. I went down to the park. I was running around.
Dude, fuck you.
Thank you.
Fucking
thank
ruining you. For everyone.
I was running around.
Name and shame. Anyway, name and shame.
I left the house. Won't be doing that. I left the house. And by the time I got to Brunswick Street Oval, which is seriously about 7 minutes away, so we had kicked five goals. They had two. Port Adelaide banged on four in 7 minutes. And then the next time I looked, they'd smacked on another 15 and we hadn't kicked a goal. They kicked 19 goals in a row. Now, David Teague afterwards keeps saying, you know, I have faith in this team. It's like, stop saying that, mate. Stop saying it. No need for faith. There is no faith. No one else has faith.
I feel like it's becoming untenable for him now. Do you feel that?
It's all over. It's as good as done. I mean, if Clarko says that he wants to coach next year, it will be at Carlton.
Yeah, sure.
And I think the only reason it won't be at Collingwood is because they've got Graham Wright. Although, if you are Collingwood and Graham Wright says, mate, I can't be around Clarko, they say, no worries, mate. Thanks for your time.
Fuck
we'll
off.
We'll see you later.
Yeah, exactly. Wouldn't you?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, Graham, you know, kind of did build that three-peat squad. But
totally.
I figure, like, if it comes down to a choice of Clarko or Graham Wright, it's like, fuck, we'll take Clarko, surely.
You go on Clarko, yeah. You go on Clarko. And then Ross Lyon came out the other day and said that, Matthews reminded him of why he's, you know, a coach and he put the fire back in the belly. It's like, oh, so you... It wasn't until that conversation. Ross Lyon just thought, oh, I don't think I'm ever going to coach again. And then Lethal comes out and says...
I was a bit confused by that kind of article, by the fact I'm like, did Lethal call up Ross and kind of just have a bit of a speech with him?
No,
like,
I think they might have run into each other out the back in the commentary box or something. Like, because Lethal does 3AW and then Ross does Triple M.
Yeah.
So they would have been out the back, you know, the Wolfpack having a break, you know, having a sausage roll, sharing a drink.
And so did the conversation maybe go a bit like, G'day, Ross.
All Lethal. This is really good to... See you again.
I think you got the passion to coach.
Maybe I do have the passion to coach.
Yeah.
I mean, Wednesday nights on Footy Classified is pretty good.
300 shows of that, Junk Timers. That's what you keep coming back
that's
for,
the magic.
People.
That's the magic right there.
That's why you're here.
But can we go through this week?
Yes. So what I'm saying is GWS are playing Carlton. Almost, you just cannot see them losing that, right? So they beat Richmond on the weekend. They beat Geelong down in Geelong. They're looking the goods. They're timing their run. So I would say they're locked and loaded. They've got seventh locked away. It's down to that eighth spot. Now, if you are fixturing that weekend, do you put Essendon and Collingwood as your last game, or do you put West Coast and Brisbane as your final game?
I think...
Sorry, fixturing without notice.
I think Brisbane and Eagles, by the fact that it has more impact in terms of top four and top eight.
I see, that's interesting. I would have put... Because if you put that last... And Essendon's already beaten Collingwood, then it's a non-event. Because they can't make it.
I will change my mind. And say no, that's a really good point.
So I would go Freo first. If they can beat the Saints, they're in, right?
Yep.
Then you have West Coast and Brisbane. If West Coast can beat Brisbane, then they're in. So they've bumped Essendon down. And then Essendon, last game of the round, Sunday afternoon, have to beat Collingwood to get themselves into the finals. Arch enemies on a Sunday afternoon in lockdown. I reckon huge for ratings. Fucking hell, I should be working at the AFL.
Sure, at Bendigo. Going to be massive. but fuck, man. I mean, Geelong and Melbourne are playing each other. That's fucking incredible.
Well, that's for top spot.
And then, fuck, man, top spot, what does that mean? Like... playing a final in Perth, like I mean, surely.
Well, I guess it's that. I guess it depends on who you play then, because the Doggies are playing Port Adelaide. So that's for third spot.
Dude. I mean, surely now.
What a great final round.
Surely now we can say the grand final is not going to be at the MCG.
You can't imagine. It would have to be the most incredible turnaround in the history of turnarounds. Like, somehow all Victorians get vaccinated tomorrow and then again their next vaccine in 3 weeks' time, which
it'd be like if,
I can't see happening.
Lazarus got COVID, then got vaccinated and came back. But, I mean, I messaged you during the week, and I think Melbourne came out of lockdown in October 25, 26, and then 2 months later they had 30,000 at the MCG for Boxing Day cricket.
Yes, so that is true.
You can't imagine a grand final with 30,000, and where the time frame is getting even tighter now.
And also, when you see how they did it for the Dreamtime, when you saw the Derby yesterday, it looked fucking fantastic with a full stadium, and it's a great stadium, and it deserves it. You know,
dude, I'm actually looking forward to a Perth grand final, and do it at night again. Give it a crack, like full house.
You think it'll be a night one?
Well, I figure like just do it. You know, like we've tried it once. Let's just try it again and see what happens.
All right, so we've had night. We've had, the regular afternoon. Because you could do it in, because it's in Perth and they've got the 2 hour delay. You could have an 8 o'clock game in Perth, so 10 o'clock in Melbourne, a late night game.
Oh, geesh, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, the delay. Yeah. Okay, so for the Eastern people, it would have to be a twilight, I suppose.
So if it starts at 6 in Perth, it's 8 o'clock here.
I suppose so, yeah.
So many permutations, Michael.
Oh, mate. I mean, tell you what. If I was the Gill right now, I'd be tearing my hair out.
I'd be panicking. But it looks to be a great final series because every team in there on their day, the only team, and this is not, it's not having a go at Essendon because they've done really well to be there, but they're probably the one that's most susceptible to being opened up a little bit. Like, they're, they've kicked, 100 points three times and lost. So they're just a little bit shaky down back. But everyone... You know, the Western Bulldogs have lost two in a row. No one would have seen that coming. They've lost Josh Bruce. It's fucking going to be tough for the Doggies. I know I said last week it's there to lose, theirs to lose, but now it's Melbourne's to lose.
And then if you look at the gap between 6th and 7th, it's 14 points, so 3.5 games. So that means there's like a clear kind of separate pack, what we call it, Peloton, who are ahead of the others. Yeah, so... I mean, Giants have had some good form in the last couple of weeks, but maybe 7 and 8 kind of make up the numbers more.
But again, at least that there's no absolute standout to win the flag. Anyone can do it, and I think it's you know what? I reckon it's good for footy.
Wow. Well, comments from
Supercoach. Profound.
Hey, do you reckon Tassie's going to get a team?
Absolutely. Nothing surer.
So the AFL put out their review. Another review.
I'll tell you what, if you're in the review business, you are earning a
you're making a lot of money this year.
You don't even need the zoo coin. I'm in the review business.
From Colin Carpenter, former Geelong president. And he went out on a limb.
Yeah.
He went out on a limb. And he said Tassie should have a team. It should be either a 19th team, a relocated team from Melbourne, or a team from Melbourne playing a lot of games in Tasmania. So
so he's coming. I mean, he's hedged his bets.
He came out strong.
Yeah,
and said, "I want to consider every option. I'm going to put that in writing form and hand it into the AFL." And by the way, that took me 3 months.
And the Tasmanian Premier Peter, is it Goodwin?
That's a good question. I looked it up before. I actually didn't know he was the Premier. I thought Will Hodgman was still Premier.
Oh, mate, you're so behind in your Tasmanian Premiers. It's embarrassing.
But they had an election recently, I think. And I think they had an election in 2018. So I feel like they...
No, they had one this year.
Yeah, well, they had one in 2018. So they must have called it.
You're allowed to have elections. It's democracy, buddy.
Yeah, but it's like not every 2 years. Like, it's usually a bit longer than that. But I think maybe they were kind of had a healthy, you know, popularity. So they went early to get a majority.
Anyway, he has come out and said he's not happy with it. He doesn't want a part-time team in Tassie, and they want their own license. They're going, we don't want to rent a team. We want our own team.
And he talked about maybe withholding money from Hawthorn and North. I don't know quite entirely where North gets their money from, but obviously Hawthorn, their major sponsor is Tasmania. So what I'm saying is, Pete, you fuck with us, there are going to be fucking repercussions, mate. Okay?
Yeah. You won't get to see Gold Coast down at Bludenstone Arena if you keep bad mouthing the mainland, mate. You ever think you're gonna see fucking Freo play down there again? You are fucking kidding yourself, my friend.
It is funny, yeah. Like the who's who that plays down at Tasmania. It's like, hey, are you a club that struggles to get, 15,000 to a regular home and away game? Come down to Tasmania and play Hawthorn.
We love you. And also, why is it just assumed that it's going to be in Hobart? Like, why is Bernie out of the mix? Why is Davenport not getting a run? What about Lonnie? There's many places that could be getting it.
Well, that's actually a big question, man. Actually, got one here. He was a footballer. He was a tough on-baller for East Launceston. Hi, and played for Swan Districts in Perth.
Huh. Well, there you go.
But I think that's part of the equation too. Like, do you put in Hobart? Do you put in Lonnie? So I think that's part of it. And also, I can never remember which one's North and South. I think Hobart's South? Lonnie North? Do you reckon?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Lonnie's
at
the top, you idiot.
Yeah, I never remember. And the idea that the North and the South don't like each other. So it's like,
I'm hearing you. We need two teams out of Tassie.
Well, yeah, I think that's what we're calling for. Yeah, we need a 19th and a 20th.
Yeah.
And how much are they going to fight for being called the... Devils.
Yeah. I think the first team in gets the Devils, and then the second team, what do they get? They just get the fucking, what do you get? The Moaners.
Yeah, sure.
The Mofos. You know how they got the Dark Mofo, which is a fantastic thing. Been to a lot. If you're playing the Tassie Mofos, you're fucking shitting yourself.
But if you're playing the Hobart Wall of Vaginas, like that is...
Oh, that's a good one.
I mean, who you got next week? Oh, fuck, we got the Wall of Vaginas. Oh, shit.
Yeah, you want to see their heritage jumper. It's just, there's a lot of hair on that.
Buddy's been a good bloke lately.
Mate, when hasn't he been? Everyone loves Buddy, and now he's dishing out help to opposition players. Got to love the bud.
He has been, yeah. So he was playing up against Sam Taylor from the Giants, and I think Buddy took a mark, outmarked him.
Yep, he did.
And then... reached out to his opponent for free and said, do you want a tip? And Sam was like, oh, I don't have my wallet on me. But gave him a bit of a chat about how to play the body.
Yeah, he said, make sure you get your body, your hips, closer to mine, which stops me from pushing you over and using my arms to push you. Now, I don't mind the idea of, helping out opposition players and stuff, but don't... Sam Taylor is a fucking gun of a defender.
Yep.
Don't help out the already... Like, you give tips to the guys, you go, he's going back to the reserves next week. I look like a good bloke, but it's never going to affect anyone else. But every other full forward in the comp's just going, oh, shut up, buddy, you fucking idiot.
It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Like, do you remember a ton of times when you were playing on the field and a bit of banter or a bit of kind of help for the opposition or looking after them?
Not at my level. Nah, I mean, not tips-wise. I wouldn't have given stuff out like that. Like, mate, I have no left foot, so if I look like I'm going to turn that way, I'm not. I'm not going that way. But remember, Ruffy did it in the VFL a few years ago.
Yeah.
He helped out a young fella that he was playing against. And
yeah, it's Reuben William. Yeah. That was 2018, so that must have been when Ruff was coming back from cancer, I think.
I think it was in his final year, maybe.
I think
because he was playing in the Magoos and just went, "Yep, I'm done." But I'm going to help out.
Yeah,
I'm going to give out
my
wisdom of being a champion player.
I'm trying to think when I kind of gave encouragement to opposition. I remember one particular player heckling me by suggesting that my father had ejaculated in my hair, which I thought it was weird. I thought it was a long bow.
I mean, that is a good way to put someone off, though. 'Cause it would You know when they say the occupy your headspace rent free? I reckon that's there. Like you're laying there going, why did he say that? That's like a really strange thing to say.
That was a match where the umpire was saying to the players in the middle of the ground when he was about to bounce the ball, he was saying, where are we going to go out tonight, blokes? Like he was organising...
To one team or to both teams?
To one team. He was organising a night
yeah,
out
right.
with the opposition.
Yeah, good.
Anyway. Hey, footballers in real life?
Mate, after last week's... what did we have? It was barren.
We have some umpires in real life because we were talking about last week whether the umpires live in Victoria or live around the country.
Yeah.
So from Tom, unfortunately for me living in Perth, not all umpires live in Melbourne. During high school, my tutor and PE teacher was Luke Farmer, in brackets ex-AFL umpire. He would routinely umpire games in Perth and occasionally fly into state on the weekend to umpire interstate games, then fly back on for school on the Monday, in brackets. Fuck that. He was a cowboy PE teacher who would always join in the students playing touch rugby or whatever during class and try way too hard.
Well, there you go. He's an umpire. He needs to feel good about himself.
Yeah. Should I say the next bit?
Absolutely, you should.
Okay. He was also one of the weak cunts who had to stop umpiring because his back hurt from bouncing the ball. Pathetic stuff, really.
Mate, I love the honesty from our listeners. You don't get that anywhere else.
The silver lining of this situation has been able to regularly scream abuse my teacher at AFL games. Most kids would pay for that privilege.
It's true.
I graduated a few years ago, so things might have changed since then. Okay, we had another one from Ben, again about the question.
I'll tell you what, though, if your teacher was an umpire and that cost you a game, Monday morning, he is, especially in Perth, like imagine he did a derby.
Yeah,
and I'm only saying it that way because I know Perth listeners, that's how you fucking sand molesters say it. But you get in there and he's given a shit decision late. You're reminding him of that.
Dude, imagine that. Going to a game on the weekend where you can just give your teacher an absolute fucking bake.
Oh, absolute bake. Yeah, it'd be great, wouldn't it? Fuck.
I mean, the teachers at my old high school... we didn't get to give them a bake, but they often ended up in jail. So got revenge that way. From Ben, RA umpires. You asked the question about umpires in this week's episode. I know that Mar Getz lives in Perth and gets a lot of Optus Stadium games, but he does get games in other states as well. I think the boundary umpire and goal umpire crews must live in each state, though. As I've noticed, Optus Stadium games always have the same boundary umpires. That's actually interesting, yeah. I suppose they probably don't need to do the same kind of training as a field umpire.
No, I guess not. And it's sort of like you don't need to be as impartial. Like it's pretty rare that a boundary umpire costs your side a game.
You can tell always have the same boundary umpires. It's the one who got the Sherrod Wellingham haircut a few years back. You can tell they're really good mates because they always look at each other and giggle during the games. In brackets, I sit right behind the goals. Perfect spot. Behind the goals.
No,
so notice, especially when they line up at the point post when someone is kicking for goal. We also get the same two serious guy goal umpires or Sally Bond, who seems a bit more chill.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, actually, I kind of, now I'm thinking about it, like, I figure, like, maybe field umpires have to be in the same spot to kind of, you know, get all the education and training, but maybe goal umpire and boundary umpire don't need to be...
Just keep your fitness up.
Yeah.
Do goal umpires have to be fit? Like, I mean, I know you got your occasional burst out to the edge of the goal square to go all clear and then the quick burst back. But beyond that, you're not doing a lot.
I mean, I can't think of too many who have been too portly over the journey.
No, that is a good point as well. Although maybe back in the day you could have hidden it with the white dust coat. You know when you see dads on the weekend, you know, it's like fucking the button's about to take out the back of the fullback's head.
Yeah, yeah. Have you ever boundary umpired?
Yeah. I did an under-19s game for Coburg years ago. Got called up after I'd played footy. My uncle was like worked down there, and he's like, "Do you want $20 or whatever to boundary umpire?" And I was so far behind the play. It was
dude,
ridiculous.
Did you find it to be like the hardest fucking thing in the world?
Yeah. It was because you know you're standing on the boundary, you're standing on the point post, and they kick it out from full back, so you're already 50 meters behind play.
Yeah. Yeah, I've only done it once, and it was like an amateur game. And I was like so fucking wrecked after like 5 minutes. And I remember like someone had a shot for goal, and I was meant to be down by the point post. And the opposition team kind of started going, yeah, you know, go down to the point post. And I was like, I can't. It's so hard.
You were giving it back to them. Fuck off.
And here's our friend, Anonymous, who's provided a bit of umpire info over the journey. Thank you, Anonymous, for your contribution over 300 reps. A bit more umpire info for you fellas, in brackets, anon as always, please. They're a secretive bunch. As a couple of years ago, all umpires must be based in Melbourne. So if you want to be an AFL umpire, you had to relocate.
There you go.
However, old-time umpires who started interstate years ago, like Margetts in Perth.
Oh, here we go.
Got to say where they, because they should retire soon.
Oh, there you go. So we had the stories corroborated. It's all checking out. Thank you, Junk Timers.
And I like this bit too. Fuck, yep. I can't believe I'm known as the umpire male guy. What a low dog. I'm not doing very well at all. Okay, football in real life from Nick. A couple of months ago, I flew to Brisbane and was on the flight with Port Adelaide for the round 14 match against the Suns in the Gold Coast. Have you ever been on a plane with a team?
Yes, I flew to Perth with Collingwood once. I remember our mate Travis Cloak, no Melbourne show for me, was sitting in the first seat in economy. So it was like a proper, almost international type plane, like a big ass plane.
Yep, sure.
And it had the middle bit. You know how you can put your feet up against that wall? He was up against that.
Yeah, sure.
And I remember that the must have been the dietitian or whatever walked down and handed them all
hand out
as
lunch.
We were flying across. Yeah.
Yeah. Flew to Brisbane on the flight, Port Adelaide against the Suns and Goldie. A few interesting things to note here. I first noticed the players as they were lining up to go through security scanners and I was surrounded. I just assumed they'd all be in some kind of bubble, but Adelaide to Brisbane travel was unrestricted then. After going through security, players all peeled off to the Virgin Lounge. In brackets, pause for Rosenbachs to make a joke about how that's where Chambo usually goes.
Heyo! Because you haven't had sex.
Oh, I thought that was like a tiger joke kind of thing.
Oh,
but for Virgin,
maybe it could go either way. It could go. I'll go. You don't get sex.
About 30 minutes after going through security, and about 15 minutes before boarding, Robbie Gray strolls through. Oh, I see how it works. Big dogs don't check in early.
I love it. Nor should you.
Obviously, they were all decked out in branded clothes, but Alir went one step further and had a power bucket hat on for the whole flight. Not bad.
Okay. What's your take on a bucket hat?
Bucket hat. I mean, it's not really one for me, but I'm not much of a hat guy apart from a baseball cap.
Like, well, that's a hat, mate.
Oh, well, yeah. And I wear that kind of basically every time I go outside. But I'm not one for like a bucket hat. Nah, it's not really for me.
What about a flat-brimmed baseball cap?
Well, I was going to say, like, would you ever pull off like a fedora kind of thing? Or like, you know, some people they just got good hat heads.
If I wore a fedora and every time I walked past a reflective surface, I would knock it off my fucking head. It'd be like, you fucking idiot. And hello to all our fedora wearers out there.
I mean, fuck, man, calm down. They're a big part of the market.
Bucket hats, mate. But what do bucket hats do? You see people wearing them like over summer and it covers like, such a small surface. Like, if you want to use the sun, you use a Greg Chappell hat. It covers everything. A bucket hat, you get your fucking end of your nose burnt, your lips would be burnt. They're just too small.
That's what I imagine. Like, I'm more hat-like for sun smart. So a bucket doesn't
matter. Yeah, you have the little thing at the back, the Legionnaires thing.
Yeah, sure.
Hanging down the back. Sun smart.
Quick enough. What do you call it? The rashy. Right to the shops.
And the t-shirt when you get in the pool.
Lastly, the players fly to Brisbane for a Gold Coast match. They were definitely direct flights to the Gold Coast from Adelaide, and with Virgin as a AFL sponsor, I thought the cost would have been immaterial. Anyway, we detoured in a bit of a hat talk there.
Yeah.
Football in real life from Alexander. Howdy, lads. After no footballers in real life, I thought I'd let you know that Chapel Street near the Channel 10 building has been fruitful for football signings well past VFL 2.0. Around 3 weeks ago, I saw the entire Adelaide Crows leaving the Coma Hotel and boarding a bus to head to their game at Marvel against the Hawks. On Friday, I saw Cam Sinclair, in brackets injured Swans Ruckman, with another player I couldn't identify going for a walk on a very surprisingly balmy Friday. But like typical Sydney Divas, wearing beanies despite being 18 degrees. Some creepy long legs iPhone pic, and there was a pic attached. On Thursday, I saw Luke Parker and a fellow Swans staffer jogging from my street, name redacted street, to Chapel Street, and Luke was holding a very rigid-ish camera tripod. There's a lot going on here.
Yeah.
Anything to pass the time, I guess. So, yeah, the stand at the Coma. So if I remember correctly, when he had a grand final show in 2016 with friends of the show, Will Anderson and Charlie Clawson, I'm pretty certain that the Swans were staying at the Coma in Chapel Street. So that must be like the dwelling of AFL
clubs.
Yeah,
right. Because I remember when Brisbane were down for their ones, they stayed somewhere on Queen's Parade, sort of Albert Park, in a Melbourne way, you know, opposite the racetrack.
Yeah, would that be the big?
Is that the Pullman?
The Carlton, no, that's not the Pullman. Carlton Club, Carlton Quest.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, definitely not the Carlton Club. That's in Bourke Street.
No. Anyway, here are two men who are just naming hotels now. We are going to hit the road. We are junktimeofapod@gmail, Twitter, Facebook, and the gram. Happy 300th, Adam. Go Hawks.
And to you, mate. And to you. And thanks to the Junk Timers for joining us aboard this journey. What a journey.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.